Hi, and welcome to Last Man Standing here with me, Paul Stevenson, on Republic Broadcasting Network. Before I go any further, please remember to try and keep us on the air, folks, and donate. You can do that by credit card or debit card on 512-246-9549, extension 3, or on toll-free 800-724-2719. And if you go to the homepage, again, that's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the yellow donate option button, you can be forwarded to pay by credit or debit card, and also the option there to donate through PayPal. And, of course, you can mail in checks, cash, money orders, gold, silver, anything of worth to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Okay, so this is my new Sunday slot. I will be with you here 1 p.m. Sunday. It's Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and 7 p.m. in the UK, or if I'm in Europe, 8 p.m. in Europe. And I'm with joined by Patrick Slattery. I'm very happy to have you with me today, Patrick, and thank you for giving me your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, so where do you want to start? Okay, so since we last spoke, we had this whole debacle with the leak about the German Taurus missiles, and it seems... I mean, obviously, you know, unless something...
I think we spoke about that.
Yes, we did. And we speculated that probably, because it is conjecture, we don't know for sure, maybe something will come out that will clarify it, but that it seemed that even Olaf Scholz, the German Chancellor, wasn't aware of this. Certainly his statements would contradict any participation of Germany on Ukrainian soil, or German military officials talking about German soldiers, military, you know, organizing an attempt by those Taurus missiles, which he again has said he doesn't want to send into that war theater on the Kerch Bridge on Russian territory. And we also speculated that this is probably has the hallmarks of Victoria Nuland, probably bypassing Scholz and exercising and indulging herself in this obsession, it would seem, with hatred of Russia. So she's now gone, Patrick. I'd like to have your thoughts on what's going on with Victoria.
Well, so the official statement from Secretary of State Antony Blinken is that she is retiring as of the end of the month. And he noted her long service at the State Department and her resume, which at the State Department is very, very substantial. And I think, I mean, honestly, I think even though she never was Secretary of State and was only the acting number two for a period of about, what, 7 months or so, despite all that, I think she's been the most consequential American foreign policy maker since Henry Kissinger. You know, she made this war. She overthrew the Yanukovych government in 2004. She had was the NATO ambassador to NATO, U.S. ambassador to NATO, for it cleared the way for Ukraine and Georgia to apply for membership. That never received it, but she invited them to apply for membership. You can go back. She was Dick Cheney's principal foreign policy advisor in the early years of the Iraq War. And, of course, her husband was one of the architects of the Iraq War. So she was fully engaged in that. Then you go back further in the Clinton administration. She was chief of staff for Strobe Talbert, who was one of Clinton's chief advisors in foreign policy. So she just goes way back. And I listened very carefully and read the transcript of a speech she made to the Center for Strategic and International Studies on February 22nd, I believe it was, the second anniversary of the start of this, the Russian special military operation, and which was an invasion, but it was really an escalation of a war that had started 10 years ago when she overthrew the government. At any rate, that speech 2 weeks ago was not a speech by somebody who was planning on retiring. It was a speech by somebody who was making threats against Vladimir Putin, threatening him with nasty surprises this summer, calling on Congress to pass this $60 billion in additional aid to Ukraine, all this stuff. She was not on the verge of resigning or retiring. So I'm pretty sure that she was forced out, and I think she was forced out because the other main policymakers in the administration, which would be Blinken himself and Jake Sullivan, that they have probably decided it's time to throw in the towel on Ukraine, to find a face-saving exit from Ukraine, cut their losses, and then shift elsewhere. Unfortunately, will be probably hostilities with China, but I think that's what they did. I don't think they want the aid budget to pass, because I think they want to be able to make the case that, oh, well, we would have won in Ukraine if it hadn't been for Trump and the Republicans not passing this budget. So those are my first thoughts. I'll kick it back to you for further discussion.
Yeah, well, I still find it amusing, and I wonder if it's disingenuous or just ignorance. There's so many people looking at this debacle in Ukraine are scratching their head with what can only be described with an obsession of hatred towards Russia, which is what this is. And in fact, I was talking to someone not that long ago, where I tried to red pill them a little bit on this and asked, despite the rising power that Russia is, they are no threat to the United States in any way, economically, militarily, in any way that can be, you know, ascertained by anyone who's an honest observer. Whereas you can make the argument that China is a bigger threat to the United States hegemony in a way that Russia isn't. So then you have to ask, what is driving this obsession? And I wonder if, you know, and I think from what has materialized since, that she's going to be replaced by more China hawks. And I wonder if they, you know, if those in power and influence in such circles have decided that Victoria has indulged her resentment and her revenge fantasies on Russia for her ancestral and historical reasons sufficiently, that it has been an absolute disaster, and that this woman needs to be removed so that they can concentrate on more serious issues and more serious perceived threats in China. Because the reason I do find it amusing is because if you ignore the Jewish element of this, and if you are ignorant of how these people operate, and if you refuse to acknowledge that it's not by coincidence that you have a Jew in charge of the border, which has been a disaster, you have a Jew in Merrick Garland, who's the Attorney General, who is running around persecuting Trump supporters, Catholics, nationalists, you name it, and you have, of course, the banking and financial system led up by Janet Yellen, another Jew, and most of her predecessors, Jews as well. If this is ignored for whatever reason, then you're not going to understand this Russian situation and hatred, because it makes no sense. But if you understand and you observe closely as to some of the comments these people make about their ancestors and the pogroms and everything else, well, then it does make sense. Okay. Well, I was saying that when I look at some of these, geopolitical commentators, Mersheimer, even Alexander Mercurius, others, scratching their heads, speculating about, the motivation and for this war in Ukraine and this obsession with hatred towards Russia. I find it amusing, but, depending on their ignorance levels or how informed they are, disingenuous, because many of them, I guess, just do not entertain the Jewish angle in this. But if you don't understand the Jewish angle in this, then it makes no sense, because it's not by coincidence you have Mayorkas, a Jew, in charge of the border and what's happened there. You have Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, harassing and weaponizing the FBI against Catholics, against Trump supporters, against Trump himself, against just normal people, Americans. That you have the banking and financial system led up by Janet Yellen, and her predecessors were also Jewish. And now look at the state of the financial system in the UK, in the United States as well. And people will argue that when you point this out, the reason that Jews are in these powerful positions is because they are so intelligent. Well, you can't have it both ways, because if you're so intelligent, and then after you've been in these positions, it has been an abject failure. You've done the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. You completely abused the position. You've undermined the national interests in all of the categories that I mentioned. Then you can't say it's intelligence, because these people have revealed themselves, if you're going down that route, to be completely incompetent. So if it's not to do with their intelligence, then there's something else afoot. But in terms of Victoria Nuland in Ukraine, when you listen to these people, they will comment. They will make comments about their ancestors and this historical hatred and resentment and towards the pogroms and under the Russian Empire. And so I think some people with power and influence in those circles have decided that Victoria has indulged sufficiently her hatred and revenge fantasies against Russia, and that enough is enough. This has to stop, because it's been a complete debacle and complete failure. And actually, I think the turning point was when she went to, I remember thinking exactly the same thing. I remember when she went to Kiev to try and throw her weight around with the controversy and tensions between Zelensky and Zelensky, that she was ignored. And I remember thinking at the time, that's what they need to do. Zelensky and the Ukrainians need to ignore her, because what she tried to achieve there did not work. Zelensky was sacked anyway. So her power is dwindling, and I think she saw the writing on the wall, and she was, pushed out anyway. But she doesn't have the power and the influence that she used to have, and I think it's a good thing for world peace, because this woman is nothing short of a mass murderer.
Well, I think she's the most dangerous person
on the planet.
First quarter of the 20th century, I've long thought she's the most dangerous person, and she came very close to getting us involved in World War III. She certainly got us involved in a war with Russia. Now,
I would echo that. I think she is, ostensibly she's the most dangerous woman in the world, and I think
not
that
just
she,
most dangerous person.
Yeah, and when you narrow it down, it's a very small group of people that are pushing, the Ukraine war and Russia situation. And when you narrow it down further, I think, it comes down to her, most of it,
Yeah, this will mark a massive shift. If they were going to continue with this whole Ukraine war, she wouldn't have gotten fired. The fact that she's getting fired means that they've changed priorities. So they are changing in what way are they changing priorities? She's being replaced in the number two position at the State Department by this guy Kurt Campbell, who's a few years older, and he has a fairly long resume at the State Department, but he's been out of it for a while. Victoria Nuland was only out during the four Trump years. When you look at Kurt Campbell, you look at his resume, he's got it's a fairly similar career trajectory to Victoria Nuland's. And even when he was out of office, when he was out of the State Department, for a while he was running this organization called the Center for New American Security. Well, this whole New American thing is like the Nuland Kagan family's trademark, and Victoria Nuland ran that same organization when she was out of the State Department. So they've come up with the same a very similar career trajectory. But then also you look at Kurt Campbell. If you look him up on Wikipedia and you see the books he's authored. So he's authored or co-authored about five books. And the ones that were co-authored, you look at the people he wrote with, and these, they're pretty much all Jews. And it's a rogues gallery. These are not people who have America's best interests. And his specialty is he is a China hawk, so he's all involved with China. And I think what this is going to represent is the Biden administration probably walking away from Ukraine, blaming it on the Republicans and Donald Trump. And you know they'll do. If you saw the State of the Union by Biden last night, I mean he's blaming the Republicans for all of the migrant crisis. It's their fault because he asked for money. Of course, the money was tied to the Ukraine money, but he asked for money where he was going to buy hire 100 new judges, and therefore instead of these people coming across the border and not getting a hearing for 6 years, they'll get one right away, and that means they won't come in the first place, or some really convoluted logic. So they'll do and say anything. I don't think it's really going to sell. I think it's pretty obvious that by now Ukraine has lost the war. It's obvious that the Democrats and the Biden administration won.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich, Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Well, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com.
Sell. I think it's pretty obvious that by now Ukraine has lost the war. It's obvious that the Democrats and the Biden administration wanted these migrants to come. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to pivot, and they're going to try to do some damage control probably with Gaza. And Biden announced, or the administration has announced, that they're going to be building some sort of temporary port at Gaza in order to get aid to Gaza. Meanwhile, they're giving Israel, you know, they've given Israel all the weapons it needs to mass murder the Gazans while they're lining up for that aid. So,
yeah, I mean, you couldn't make this up. I mean, it's so transparent. You know, with your right hand, you're providing, you know, mass murdering weapons. On the left hand, you're talking about your concern for the Palestinians. Anyway, it's very nice of them to, to provide this port for the Palestinians. Unless, of course, I hope they keep it secret from the Israelis, because the Israelis will probably target it, you know, with one of the weapons that the U.S. have provided.
Yeah. So, but now we've got to keep our eye on China. They had Taiwan had its presidential election a month or so ago. And even though about 60% of the people voted for one of two candidates who wants improved relations with mainland, because they split the vote, a anti-mainland candidate is going to be president of what is still officially called the Republic of China, but that's the entity that governs Taiwan. So for the next, I guess it's 4 years. I think it's a 4-year term. So you're going to have the risk is that this person will at some inopportune time declare independence from China, say that, you know, rename the country or the government he leads from what is currently the Republic of China to something else, to the Republic of Taiwan. If they declare it the Republic of Taiwan, that's just going to be unacceptable. Because the status quo in that part of the world for the past 75 years has been that there are two rival governments, one in Beijing, one in Taipei, both claiming to be the legitimate government of all of China. Although the government in Taipei stopped actually believing in itself, believing in its claim sometime around late 80s, early 90s. But the status quo has been, well, as long as Taiwan does not declare independence, we will let it act de facto independent, and we're just going to wait it out. That's been the policy in Beijing. But once they actually say, well, no, actually, we're going to be independent, that would provoke war. And there's no need for it, because Beijing has not put any deadline on reunification.
Yeah, and if you think of the insanity of this Russian obsession, you know, what level of insanity are we talking when it comes to China? I mean, look, America, particularly because of the world reserve currency in the U.S. dollar, is very privileged to be able to print up money by a criminal syndicate who, bribed their way into being able to do so over 100 years ago, are able to print up money and send this money to China for China to manufacture a lot of stuff that they send to the United States and the West. So do these people ever think anything through? Or is it part of the plan? I don't know. But, I mean, if you go to war with China, I mean, pretty much, the stuff stops coming, surely. You know, all those little semiconductors, for example, that come from China that we need for your cars, mobile phones, toasters, clothes, everything. I mean, what's the plan here? You know, we're going to start a war with China? It's just like, you know, is that what we're looking at, Patrick? Or we're just, you know, we're going to, you know, do things the Jewish American way and start a war with China.
Really? Yeah, and, you know, while I think Victoria Nuland's the most dangerous person in the world, and I was happy to hear that she's been kicked out of the government. At the same time, there's a great deal of trepidation.
I would use the word relieved.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, with her in...
Excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I would use the word relieved.
Yeah, but at the same time, like it, with her in office, I think she'd done pretty much as much damage as she could do, and with her gone, now we're going to be potentially facing these new adventures. Shifting attention over to Ukraine. New adventures, yeah. And so it would, you know, I'm
over to China, you mean? Or the South China Sea?
It would have been better for Victoria Nuland just to remain in office, because I think she had pretty much spent her wad, so to speak. I don't think there was a whole lot more she could do. Now they're going to be rattling sabers with They could be rattling saber through with China, starting something brand new. I don't know. So I'm very leery of what's to come. I mean, she was the worst person, most dangerous person in the world, but I don't know. With it's American politics and what's going on in the American government, it's all crazy. And the thing is, I guess the last thing I'll say is, you already have a situation where not Trump so much, but his base is very hostile to China. And
yeah, I know. Even Tucker Carlson is like that, you know.
Tucker Carlson's always been like that. And so
has he changed on that? I think he did an interview He did an interview with Douglas McGregor, and Douglas McGregor rebuked him on the China issue. So you never know. Tucker's
And Tucker knew that he's not in a position to debate Douglas McGregor on this type of thing, and so he I think he kind of backed down, just said something like, "Well, it's not like I want to go to war with them," But then the next time I saw him, he was back to his old tricks. So
China self. Anyway, listen. Yeah, you don't have to worry about if you're pro Ukrainian. You don't have to worry about Toria, as Blinken calls her in his little farewell loving address in his statement. Because we've got the smugness personified in Emmanuel Macron over here, who continues this cringeworthy tough guy act against Russia. He is now doubling down, saying there's no limits to support for Ukraine. And quite frankly, I find it a little frustrating that the Russians even indulge him by responding in such strong rhetoric, because this guy's an airbag. The French people have made it clear they have no interest in going to war against Russia. There was big protests. You've had Marine Le Pen address him down as more or less a belligerent little, like, you know, nobody, like I'm talking, and pointed out his unpopularity in France. But yet he is continuing to shout across the room and let me at him with the 30 security guards between him and Russia. I mean, this guy knows there's no support in France for the war. He talks about NATO as if it's like France. I mean, NATO is a big organization. He cannot speak for NATO. And yet he persists in this kind of narrative. And I do find it quite irritating that the Russians don't come out and basically declare the truth that Emmanuel Macron and even the French military are no threat to the Russians, you know.
Well, that's where we're at. Now, did you see the Biden State of the Union by any chance?
Oh, I didn't. I didn't. I've had some, you know, I've watched some commentary about it, but I haven't seen it. I actually was intending to watch it just before we spoke.
Yeah, it was. So typically, at some point, in the State of the Union, the president will say, "The State of the Union is strong." Something like that. Well, and he did. He said it at some point. But really, when you looked at that State of the Union speech, yeah, you have to say the State of the Union is gay, very, very gay. It's messed up. And that speech was kind of funny. It was not characteristic. You know, typically these are pretty. I mean, it's not that they're not political, but they're pretty formal events. And whereas this one, Biden was extremely, he didn't so much deliver the speech as he hollered it. He just hollered it. He was shouting. He seemed pretty pissed off the whole time. And which is his demeanor. He does.
Yeah, but it's all phony. I mean, it's like feigned passion is what it is. You know, this guy doesn't care about anything. You know, he never did, you know, apart from himself. He's a scumbag. And it's like he talks as if he's passionate about certain issues. And you can see it's fake. That's my interpretation of it. The guy doesn't stand for anything. And, you know, people realize it. You know, he's not George Galloway. He's not Trump. For all Trump's faults, he's genuine. You know, you've got George Galloway over here. He's genuine. You know, give me someone, and people I think are largely like this, it's a ubiquitous kind of phenomenon where people, even if you disagree with them, give me the truth. I mean, this is why, for example, people who are what are described as extremists, and you had, you know, Rishi Sunak coming out doing having a meltdown, coming out on the steps of Downing Street, which is typically reserved for some big statement, like maybe there's going to be a general election or we are at war or something serious. Well, he comes out and talks about how alarming it is and what a threat it is to the country that George Galloway has won this seat. Well, it's alarming not to the British people. It's alarming to them. It's alarming to the establishment. That, you know, that are the only, those are the only people who are alarmed and concerned by it. People up and down the country are relieved that you have someone, and I don't agree with Galloway on everything, but I agree with him on a lot, but I'd rather have someone with principle who's genuine. And he's not controlled. He's not bought and paid for. like what we have in this country, which is a uniparty. I mean, it's even more acute in this country, the uniparty, than what you have over there. There's nothing between them. And they talk about the birthplace of democracy. Well, what kind of democracy is it when you have two parties which are exactly the same and they've got the whole system sewn up and you have no option, you know? You basically have a country who are infuriated almost on a daily basis, and it's just, you know, increasing. So, you know, George Galloway is a huge relief for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, he represents, at least he represents something. The same way some of these squad ladies do, not so much AOC, but some of the other ones, at least they believe in something, and they're standing up against Israel, which is freaking out people. Biden, of course, in part of his speech, he said, you know, he's talking to a joint session of Congress, and he said he's got the most pro-Israel record of anybody in the room. Anybody. I challenge you to be more pro-Israel than me.
Yeah, well done. That's not going to do you any favors this year, Joe.
Yeah.
You backed the wrong horse, I'm afraid, Joe.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's more because, and partly because of these squad members, but they're not so much leaders as kind of followers, but there's the anti-whiteness created, or at least improved the environment for the Palestinian Solidarity people, who have been around for a while, but the anti-whiteness helped fuel them because they, you know, there are these settler narratives. Israel is a settler colony, just like the 13 colonies of the United States, which displaced the Indians, just like Australia displaced the Aborigines. So this is a white settler movement. And, of course, it's open game on whites. And so...
Well, you this have this... Yeah. I was going to say also, the other...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Peter. Sorry.
But there are people, and in particular blacks, who are noticing that it's not just a white thing. And Candace Owens is pretty interesting. Not that she's the best intellect or anything, but she does have a very large platform. And a week or so ago, she said something about the people who are pushing pornography on our young men. And then immediately she was called out for anti-Semitism. And she said, well, I didn't mention Jews at all.
They do this all the time. I remember I mentioned this in the speech I gave at Patriotic Alternative that, you know, somebody, I forget who it was, they were lambasting the Western financial system and its, hegemony and its, detrimental effect around the world. and there's a pile of Jews came out and called her an anti-Semite. No one mentioned Jews, you know, if you didn't know before, you know. So if you start targeting Hollywood without mentioning Jews, or you start criticizing the pornography industry without mentioning Jews, the Jews will come out. It's like, this is anti-Semitism. You're like, what? Well, who mentioned Jews here, you know?
They did. I want to get back to something.
Yeah,
they revealed themselves. You mentioned earlier the United States dollar, the dollar as a reserve currency, and it's being destroyed. And the thing about the dollar as the reserve currency, and it's not the only reserve currency. Britain, you know, the British pound, the Japanese yen, the euro, even the Swiss franc, and some of these other convertible currencies, to an extent are reserve currency and to an extent get some of the same benefits. But what the status of the US dollar does for the United States, it allows it to print up a lot of money. And, typically, according to economic theory, if you've got a greater supply of money and you're not changing the supply of goods, then the value of the money goes down and you get inflation. That is the orthodox economic theory. But
You get a rise in prices. The increase in the money supply is the inflation, and the rise in prices eventually, like what you outlined, is a symptom of it. It'll follow that the prices will go up.
We don't get the increase in prices, and the reason we don't get it is because we don't get nearly as much. I mean, you look at the rate of the increase in the money supply, and then look at the rate of increase in prices, and it's not
because the CPI doesn't even count things like energy and rent, for example.
Yeah, but the thing is the United States imports so much of the products, so many consumer products, so much is imported, and the price of the imports is mainly determined by the exchange rate, and the exchange rate. The fact that the United States dollar is convertible, is a reserve currency, the exchange rate, there is no exchange rate determination theory that really, there's a bunch of them, and none of them have a particularly good record. It's all kind of psychological. So the United States, printing all of this extra money is inflationary, but at the end of the day, the price increases, so much of the price increases wind up being effectively exported to other countries. And so the United States, it may not be completely immune from price increases, but it's able to share those price increases. It benefits from printing the dollars, but it shares the adverse impact with the rest of the world because it's able to just... It for the past half century plus, it's been able to run a perennial trade deficit, and that trade deficit has not weakened the dollar over time.
It has, you know, when you look at the purchasing power of the dollar, and it's the same over here, you know, it has declined.
But not but relative to other currencies, the way it should, the way, you know, a lot of these exchange rate determinations. No, it hasn't. I mean, the dollar. Look at the dollar yen rate.
Not to the extent that it should have.
The dollar yen rate today is the same as it was in the 1980s.
But you know what, though, Patrick, I think when that's going to be a situation where it's going to happen pretty suddenly. I think that whole house of cards is going to fall at some point. You know.
Yeah. No, and that's it. It is more likely to happen sooner rather than later because of the craziness of the sanctions against Russia,
and even quicker still with this insanity with if they're seriously considering a war with China. I mean,
a war with China. Yeah, there are a lot of economic institutions that were created after World War II that have been dominated by the United States, and which now. There are rival institutions that have been created or strengthened over the past couple of years that are centered in China. And so these institutions, things like the SWIFT, it's just really a messaging system for sending money, but it had monopoly status. And it's not as so technically advanced that China couldn't figure out how to do their own. And so
bypass it. Yeah.
And so, and the also there's this whole psychological aspect. Why does the dollar stay so strong in spite of all of the trade deficits and the budget deficits and all of this other stuff? Why does it stay so strong? It stays strong for psychological reasons.
Yeah, you're right. It is. Yeah.
But once you've got a situation where
reality descends.
Russia or China or India or Indonesia or Pakistan or countries around the world that use the dollar for transactions, that use the dollar to store their currency reserves, are going to say, well, wait a minute, if we get on their bad side, they are going to seize our assets. They are going to transfer our assets to our enemies.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are going to say, well, wait a minute, if we get on their bad side, they are going to seize our assets. They are going to transfer our assets to our enemies. And so this is going to act to change the psychology that has been kept, that has been keeping the dollar strong.
Yeah. And there are these morons. I think even maybe Macron might have been one of them. Or maybe Baerbock in Germany, or one of these establishments.
I call her Annalena Trampolina.
Yeah, she's quite fit as well. It's a shame. But one of these globalist puppets, you know, have been encouraging the idea of not just freezing but stealing this $300 billion in Russian, money.
Right.
I mean, talk about you know, cutting your own throat further. I mean, I don't really understand it. Are these people crazy? Are they stupid? Is it just their aggression? I guess it must be their aggression and their just belligerence and their hubris that they think we will do what we want and ignore reality and ignore the fact that the, you know, the tide is turning and that things are changing. They don't seem to be able to cope very well with the changes that are occurring, and yet their own behavior and their own actions through belligerence and hubris are accelerating those changes and undermining their own hegemony. You know, I mean, it's quite a fascinating phenomenon to observe.
Well, I think there's been a big change in the time preference these people. Like, for instance, a normal person who works for a living and has responsibilities and has a family, they are going to say, well, it would cost, say, $10,000 or $20,000 to do such and such. And I don't really have the money now, so I'm not going to do it. Whereas, let's just say a drug addict might say, well, I need a fix, and that fix is going to cost me a couple thousand dollars, and I don't really have it, but I'm going to spend it anyway. And maybe that's not the most eloquently put metaphor for this, but these people are just not thinking about the future. And anything they can get away with now, they'll try to get away with it without really thinking about the long-term consequences. That's where they're at now, just like a junkie. And yeah. And I do think they're in the end game. But, you know, we're getting pretty close to the end of our show.
I think the final chapter, or you might even call it the coda, is going to be a very miserable situation for a lot of people. But out of the ashes of that, the swamp will not have been drained by Donald Trump, but it will have been drained by the swamp itself, because the swamp creatures will have basically ate themselves. You know, because that's what that seems to be what they're doing, you know. They're like cannibalizing.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Patrick. It was fascinating as ever, and we will do it again soon, hopefully, no doubt.
Okay.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.